Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. Chris Williams in for Steve Arterburn today, and I get to hang out with two of my favorite people, incredibly wise, intelligent, and fun and funny. Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, and Dr. Jackie Mac Harris.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going?
It's going well.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Glad to know we're your favorites in the room.
Right, yes. In this particular room, you guys are my favorite. I won't rank it, though.
Okay. Okay. We won't tell the other hosts.
Please don't. Yeah, keep it between us. Yeah. And we'd love for you to join us today. And guess what? Guess what I want to do right now?
What?
I want to go straight to the phones.
That was going to be my guess.
All right, let's go to Lisa. Let's talk to Lisa in Portland, Oregon, listening to us on YouTube. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, I have a question for you. This is a difficult one because I wanted to know if you guys have experienced more estrangement between generations. In the last 10 years or so, I have three kids, and of those three, one has not spoken to me for at least 5 years, and I've reached out to her in a multitude of ways that were just really gentle, and she's basically cut me out of her life. And as I've talked to other parents, I found out that this is not uncommon.
Yeah. And did she give you a reason why she cut you out of her life?
I would like to know that, actually. She did write a 2-page letter, and I've gone back to that many times, and I've read it. And so I finally took a course on, it was called Pathway to Freedom, and it was a course where you really delved into perhaps trauma that you had in your own life and maps that, you know, we create in our lives as we grow up as kids, and then also intergenerational trauma that gets passed on. Mm-hmm. And so even though we thought we were rock star parents, according to her, she has all sorts of trauma, but she will not share that. And I'm at a loss because I can't communicate with her.
Wow. Yeah.
So your question is that something that we're seeing a lot? And I would have to say yes. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon, especially in the Christian community. I experience, sadly conversations with people every day who are either young adults no longer in communication with their parents or grandparents, or parents and grandparents who have stopped communicating with their young adult children because there's so many differences of worldview. A lot of
differences of worldview, and I think labeling everything as a trauma, right? Mm-hmm. There's a much broader spectrum of what people consider traumatic.
Right.
And I think there's been a weaponizing of boundaries. Yeah. So we take it, you know, and isn't this just like us as humans? We take something good and then we take it to the extreme.
Right.
And we use it against each other.
Well, and we've become a culture that has a really difficult time having hard conversations.
Yes.
And so if we, as Gen Xers, did not teach millennials and Gen Zers how to have hard conversations, that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah. Yep. So there,
I could see that.
Yeah, so Lisa, there's a lot here. We're going to go to break here shortly and then come back to you because I have a lot to share here. I have a lot of ideas on what I think is going on.
Okay.
But for those of you out there, if you need a restored workshop because of sexual infidelity that you have experienced from someone else, check out our restored workshop.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, in studio with Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We are talking with Lisa. Lisa, you are experiencing an incredibly painful experience of estrangement from your daughter. And unfortunately, again, I don't have an incredibly huge sample size, but at least what I've seen around me is that there has been an increase. And so...
A huge increase.
Well, and let me... Yeah.
Well, and now that it's happened to you, you're seeing it everywhere, too.
Yeah, and let me try to provide a little bit of clarification on when and if it would be appropriate for there to be estrangement in the family or estrangement in relationships. And so when that would be appropriate would be if there was an ongoing pattern of abuse that was unchanged. And so if there was a physical threat, verbal threat, emotional, all of those sort of things. So what I'm seeing more and more and more of, what you guys were talking about, is that there is a breakdown of resiliency for hard things. In relationship, in family relationship over a lifetime is a hard thing for everybody.
Right. It's messy.
Yeah. And so we can get into this this desire for the ideal and a lack of integrity and resiliency for the real.
And a perpetuation of good and bad splits.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Where people are striving for all good, right? All kind of the same, and pushing away anything that's different or they don't agree with or...
And our homes are just microcosms of the macro that we live in, right? So if we look at the country that we live in right now, that is literally what is happening in our country. And so then that is trickling down to our homes. A lot of the split is young adults not having the same beliefs as their parents and thinking their parents' beliefs are awful, or that their parents allowed something to occur in church or forced something on them. Sometimes what we've believed as we were raising our children, we've gotten older and realized, oh, that wasn't the best idea. That wasn't the best way to handle that. That wasn't the best way to do that. But don't convey that to our children that we've learned that. So I have a 30-year-old and a 27-year-old, and we get to have these conversations, and thankfully we're not estranged, but we have some really difficult conversations. And I loved parenting, and I thought I was a great parent, but I've also been informed that I was emotionally avoidant. And so my children could not get to me emotionally and couldn't get their needs met. And so there was a lot of hurt from that. And some people are calling that trauma, and they're not giving the parent an opportunity to repair the relationship. You hurt me. I'm angry. I don't trust you to be able to have a conversation with me about this and not make me the bad one. And so I'm just never going to talk to you again.
Yeah. And there's this
You nailed it, by the way. Nailed it.
Yeah. And this movement towards invulnerability, right? And our technology lends itself to that.
Right.
Is that I could spout my opinions and views and even attack you and never have to ever have a face-to-face conversation. Right. I think we're going relationally insane as a result of this, because it has very, very deep-rooted consequences. And I think in the midst of all of this is, again, the lack or the distance between expectations and reality. And there's a big gap there for a lot of us. And I think that that's what invulnerability tries to teach us, is that we can have it all and it'll cost us nothing. But listen, pain is the entrance fee to planet Earth. And so, we are all going to have to deal with it. And I get really impassioned around this, because when we look at the Gospel of Luke, And Luke has this proclamation of Jesus in action. And Luke's action is this: healing and forgiveness. And those two things lockstep with each other over and over and over and over again, because I think what the good doc Luke was trying to tell us is that to experience the fullness of our humanity in the way that God has created us, we're going to have to deal with our pain, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to deal with our disappointments.
Yeah. And in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were created
yes.
for yeah. relationship. Yeah. And so it's unfortunate that these splits are happening because we are damaging what the
thing
we need.
We're not wrestling then.
We're not wrestling with it.
We're just
walking away from it and just mm-hmm. saying, I'll be better if I don't have to connect with this person, but you
or
won't
you
be.
Don't remind me of my discomfort
and,
in these
and
areas.
You
right?
mentioned generational transmission of trauma, right? So there may be yeah. something in your family tree that this is a pattern. Mm-hmm. And it would be great if you and your daughter could be the one to break that limb. Just to stop that
there
pattern.
There actually is not a pattern of that in my family mm-hmm. tree, and I'm the historian for this family, okay? So I'm doing all the generational exploration. And I do see now things that, as a parent, I needed to be more available, you know, in this way and that way. But I was one of those parents that was very active. We were the house all the kids came to. Mm-hmm. We went on vacations together. And so now all of a sudden memories seem to be changing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like they rework a memory over and over again, and pretty soon this isn't even the house you grew up in.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in some of the feedback that I've gotten, the memory is different because their perspective was different. And so we might think the memory is changing, but when you hear it coming from someone else's vantage point, it doesn't sound true because that's not how mm-hmm. you experienced it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for us to hear that. And I've said it. I was like, that's not how that happened. And then I had to realize, oh, that's not how it happened for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I'm in the power position, mm-hmm. the person who had no power.
I hear what you're saying.
They
right.
had a completely
and that's why
different experience.
To really listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hear
listen and validate and say,
yes.
maybe I wasn't there for you during that year when whatever happened. And I'd like to hear more.
Yes.
But it seems popular to actually, I have another child who's gone gender neutral, and he's very angry at me if I say the wrong pronoun. It's just a different functional family than I ever expected
yeah.
to be living in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that can feel very hurtful.
And
right?
that's its own loss.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, tremendous.
It is a loss.
It's huge
yeah.
loss.
And so, Lisa, what you are experiencing is deep grief.
Mm-hmm.
And a living loss doesn't give,
yes.
We don't give it enough credence because
yeah.
we're all dealing with it to
right.
a greater or lesser degree. It'd be a loss of a job, loss of a relationship.
Yeah.
But also the loss of a dream,
right. yes,
the loss
so
of an expectation.
Much.
There is, the writer Henry Nouwen passed a while ago. Mm-hmm. But in one of his later journals, he said, towards the end of my life, I'm realizing that much of prayer is grieving to God.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my goodness,
Ugh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and so learning to grieve. And what Jackie was saying is so important because we have to hold things, differing things together at mm-hmm. the same time. And that's really maturity, mm-hmm. you know, that's growing up. And so mm-hmm. we have this hint of that, which Paul tells us that he says, we are not like those who grieve without hope. And so we can feel the pain and the mm-hmm. hurt and the loss. And we can hold on to the hope at the same time as those that we love are both deciding and becoming different than what we had expected or hoped or dreamed of.
So there's a surrendering, I think, that
yeah.
that has to happen with our kids,
yes.
right? And being
oh, yeah.
reminded
yeah.
that they're on their journey, mm-hmm. right? God has got them,
mm-hmm.
even though it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction,
right?
According
yeah.
to us, right?
Yeah.
But and
even when she thought, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt you.
You go ahead.
No, at one point I had a cancer scare a year ago, and she heard through my brother that, yes, your mom might have ovarian cancer. She never would text me or anything. I mean, it's that serious. I could die for all she cares.
Well, and I can't, I can't speak for your daughter, but one of the things that happens inside is like when we make a decision, especially when there is an estrangement, is that the longer the time passes, the more fear or embarrassment or guilt or shame is built up that creates more barriers to reach out. And, and I can imagine that that is possibly happening inside of her.
The other side of that is sometimes the longer we're apart, the more rock solid we become in our belief that we're right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true, in order to maintain that.
Yeah. In order to stay with it, you're convinced that your way is the only way.
Yeah. Well, and Lisa, you had said that
this
she...
This is a lot of wisdom from you guys.
You had said that
she... I appreciate these insights.
Oh, good.
Oh, you're welcome. We're glad you called in.
Yeah, but you had said, because I do think a lot of people are experiencing this. You had said she had written you a letter, so she had reached out in that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you've ever written back, and maybe some of the awarenesses.
Oh, yes.
Okay, of how it...
Actually, she didn't open any of the letters, and then finally she did it under the safety of being with my son, who is a friend. They're close. Mm-hmm. And she just took the checks out and cashed them. And I don't know, I never try to defend myself. I only try to say, I love you. I'm here for you if you want a relationship.
I'm wondering some of the awarenesses that you were sharing with us about maybe how, you know, we can have multiple children. You have three, but they each have a different experience growing up.
Yeah. Well, and I think in this, Lisa, if that was her action, to discard your words and take your money, that's a hard and dark heart.
Yeah.
And that's going to require grief.
Yeah.
I see this in marriages heartbreakingly all the time. It's like when one of the hearts goes cold and dark, it is really, really hard to warm it back up and bring it into the light. And it just sounds like that is what's happened with your daughter. And so letting her go to her own journey and praying for her fervently that God will guide her heart, restore her heart, heal it, whatever needs to be healed, but warm it back up, bring it back into the light, and that the possibility of a relationship restored is down in the future.
Right. And I think just one... go ahead.
Just last thing I was going to say, because I've been on the phone for a while, but I was going to request that maybe you have a conference on this, because as soon as I mention this, people pop out of the woodwork and say, oh my gosh, that happened with my family too. Mm-hmm. It's rampant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Well,
and so
I was going to say,
I just wanted to say one thing in regards to your son, because you're still in relationship with him and he gets mad at you if you don't use the right pronouns. I think sometimes, especially with adult children, we have to maybe remind them that we grew up in a different time and that the grace needs to go in both directions.
Right?
That I'm trying to understand, but please know this is a difficult shift for me. And it's not out of malice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. I think that that's an important piece because they do forget that. Mm-hmm. Right? They get it, and so they expect you to get it. And even when you respect that decision and that person's bodily autonomy, it's still not what your brain is wired to go to. It's not how it's just not what you were taught growing up. So there's a growth period that has to happen here for you as well. And so just maybe a reminder, hey, you know, I don't mean any harm by it. I really do hear you and see you. I'm learning.
So Lisa, we're going to send you a Life Recovery Bible along with the Life Recovery Grief Workbook. Mm-hmm. And so even though yours is not a loss or grief to death, there is a physical death. There's a death to a relationship. And they dreamed of what you'd hoped it would be. And we just want to encourage you, cheer you on as you continue doing your work, loving your daughter, loving your son, loving your children, the best way that you can, because I know that these are really hard. Thank you for calling in, because you're right. This is not a unique or isolated incident. If we can help you, let us know, 1-800-229-3000, but also give us a call. Get connected with one of our counselors, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams in studio with Dr. Jackie Matt-Karras and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're going to go right back to the phones. We're going to go to Linda in Laverne, California, listening on KKLA. Linda, are you there?
Yes.
What can we do for you today?
So I am, I'm kind of wondering what I should do. I'm wondering if I should have my husband, if we may have my husband here to go to counseling, or if he should just go to Every Man's Battle. But yesterday I saw that he had been side messaging a woman on Instagram. It's a friend of his from when he used to be like in, I think in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me upset, because I mean, it's like a talking back and forth, just, you know, about how's your sister and all that kind of thing. But the bottom line is that it, in secret, it's being done. So that bothers me. So of course you start looking further on the Instagram, and then I see that there was two, women sites or sound sites or, you know, their pages where that he was looking, and they're almost no clothing, and I'm like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. So I saw that there was like one, and then there was one, but the bottom line is that there was one.
Mm-hmm.
So I did approach him this morning before he went to work, because I saw it last night accidentally as I was getting some videos from the weekend, and I was airdropping them into a phone of ours for my son to look at. Anyhow, I approached him, and he was shocked, but he said, you know, nothing's going on. And I said, then why are you, you know, talking in secret to, her name is Janet. And I said, you know, she followed you on Instagram, follow her back, and you can do that. I don't mind. But now I do mind, because I don't know why you're not doing it on, you know, in public. And then he's like, no, you know, I'm not going to follow her back. You know, there's a lot of stuff or something like that. And I'm like,
So Linda, let me jump in, because we can go down a lot of details here. So what is your fear? Tell me your fear.
I'm just sad that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my fear is that it could escalate to more.
Yes.
You know, it could get worse.
And then, what is the question for us today?
So, do you think they're having him? I mean, I'm already thinking Every Man's Battle, but do we need counseling too?
I think that there's probably a lot here, both mm-hmm. in him individually and you guys in the marriage. So I would definitely recommend Every Man's Battle for him. I really want Jill to speak to your heart right now. Jill, what do you have for her?
Well, Linda, I'm sorry that you're hurting right now. And this is a very hurtful thing. When you feel like you're in a trusted marriage, and then you see these cracks, it's devastating. And it's like it kind of turns your world a little bit sideways, or a bit sideways, because all these questions of how long, how much, how often, what's been going on with my husband that I was unaware of. And so seeing this, I like the fact that you're saying, okay, we need to do something. We're not going to just, your mind isn't going into denial and pushing it away. It's like we need to do something proactive, because marriage is fragile. and things come in, and then the chasm grows. And so we hope that you're catching this at the beginning, right? But we have no way of knowing.
Right.
Right? And so the thing is not to, like, you know, call him out and chastise him and he's bad and wrong. The thing that this does is say, oh my gosh, we haven't been taking as much care of our marriage as we've needed to.
That's good. Yeah.
And we need to jump in and do something, and that you're willing to fight for this marriage, right? You're not going to let these little flirtations and things come in and rob you of what you've had, right? Or what you thought you had. And facing the reality of what is there and what the state is. I mean, this long term could end up being a gift instead of it really blowing up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the above. I think every man's battle, let's nip this in the bud, or if it's been going on longer, then of course, as well as counseling.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think both would be incredibly helpful. And you were able to have a conversation with him this morning before he went. Do you feel like you guys could get into counseling?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do think that we could. I know we've talked about it in the past for other things, and we just, you know, haven't. So this is just like a slap in the eye opener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's intimacy in marriage in July.
Yeah, the intimacy in marriage workshop would also be wonderful. Like, and these are one of those things. I want you guys to be able to put as much investment into this as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. There's not an area of our life that isn't impacted by the quality of our relationships, and there isn't a relationship that is more impacted than our marriages.
Right.
You know, and so there's one more thing I want to say to you, Linda, before you get off the phone. So hang with us. We're going to go to a break right now. Again, any amount that you give this month, we're going to send you a copy of Making Peace with Your Father by David Stu.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We've been talking with Linda, who has courageously reached out to us, talked about this. It's sort of these painful, breathtaking moments where you see these exchanges happening with your husband on you know, these back channel sort of ways through social media, which can become so dangerous and such a slippery slope. But Linda, what I wanted to share with you today is this. What he's doing means something for you, but it doesn't mean anything about you. Do you know the difference there?
Did we lose?
Yeah, I think I may have lost it. Oh, Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Were you able to hear what I said?
Yes. It's not about me. It's for me.
Well, it's not. It means that what he's doing is impacting your marriage for sure. But it doesn't say anything about who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take hard work on your part to differentiate that out, to be like, no, like, he may be doing this, but it speaks nothing to my worth my value, my beauty, my, you know, and who I am as a person. It says everything about him. Not everything, but it says something significant about him. But it is meaningful to the marriage, and that's why it's okay. Let's go work on the marriage. Let's go figure this out. But as you do that, try to pay very close attention to the creepiness of shame in this, and that is what he does is going to say something bad about who you are, and that's just not truth. That's a lie.
Okay,
and that's really important point.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, really
important point.
Yeah.
So in that way, because when you go into that shame place, you don't make the wisest decisions. Right.
And you can't see what's really going on
because
you're making something about him or the marriage something about yourself.
Right.
And so it derails it all the time. That's really good, Jill, to point that out. So, Linda, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, and we're also going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust.
That's what I was thinking.
And so though some of the material on Worthy of Her Trust will be more extreme than what your husband is engaged in, the concepts are really, really important, and it's really about how do we engage in what we were talking about earlier, tough conversations, hard conversations, intimate conversations to achieve a greater bond through trust in our marriages. So, Linda, thank you again for calling in today. And in right now to share with us, we have Larry Sonnenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to talk about our matching gift. There's all kinds of things I want to talk to you about. I got a testimony, a matching gift. Been doing a lot of reading and studying recently on faith. And, you know, the faith to get a gift match, to have folks, to think that folks would open up their pocketbooks and give money and we could reach this goal is a step of faith. And so I'm counting on that. I'm counting that God is going to be faithful and true through you, our listeners, by supporting us. And there's a testimony that I wanted to share that speaks to this. She writes, I was so excited to hear about your matching challenge on the show today. I'm one of those people that Larry was talking about when he said, are you one of the folks who keeps thinking I should donate but never do anything about it? Well, that's me. I've been wanting to give for a while now, and his words, along with the matching challenge, got me moving. I've been listening to you on the radio since Minerth Meyer days.
Wow.
For decades, I'd only been able to catch the last half of your show on my way home from work on the car radio. But now I'm retired, and I love seeing you in person or on YouTube. Each host is amazing and unique. I have been able to counsel people through the years, like walking my brother through a divorce, because what I learned from New Life. I haven't donated for a while, so I'm happy to do it now. And it makes me think of another testimony where somebody said, I wish I could give more. And well, now you can. Now you can. It, not just more. Whatever you give, we'll withdraw that amount from the matching fund till we can whittle it down to nothing. But we would rather than whittle it down, take big chunks out. So,
that's more fun, Larry.
Yes, it is. So if a group of you would be willing to give, or if one of you has the ability to give a big chunk, well, whatever that means to you, it would be helpful. Yeah, this place doesn't run without support from our donors, and it's really important. And what happens here is amazing. It's stuff you can't make up. I wish they'd give me a show just to talk about that.
Yeah.
But you got better calls to take, so let you go.
Well, Larry, thank you again for all that you do, the way you guide this ship incredibly well, and such a faithful captain to it. And I know we share this a lot, but seeing the way that everything is paid attention to, and there's no detail unturned to all point to being good stewards. And really what I love and being important to me, as I say in my own organization, is everything's got to move to mission. Everything's got to move to mission. Every dollar, every intention, every decision. And so I can say that New Life moves everything to its mission. and that is providing hope and healing in life's hardest places.
Thanks, Chris.
And so we're going to keep doing that. And to that end, I am excited to announce an online conference that I get to be a part of, and it's so much fun. And it is the Repurposed Life Conference. And so in this, Steve is going to share, Becky's going to share, Misty, Steve's wife, is going to share, I'm going to share. And really, it's about all of life has some sort of area of recovery that we need. And how do we enjoy and engage in the gifts of recovery? And I was just talking with a friend of mine, really good friend of mine, this last week, and he's in a 12-step recovery program, and he was struggling with smoking, and I'm just going to say that this isn't for everyone, this is just his experience. He was talking about his anxiety and his smoking, and he goes, listen, I was praying for God to remove this shortcoming from my life. And that's a step seven, and becoming willing and praying for it. And he says, my anxiety has lowered a little bit. I have gotten some medication, some help, but as of today, his cravings for nicotine are gone.
Wow.
And we're like, wow,
that's
absolutely,
a tough one.
And so when we think of people that are struggling with addiction that need recovery, we're usually thinking of somebody else other than ourself. But the truth of the matter is we all have areas of our life that need recovery. I know I do, and I'm going to share some really fun things. One of the things that I'm going to share on is failure is imminent, recover anyways.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And so it's about failing forward and not letting a mistake or a slip up or a setback take us out, but actually move us forward. So details on that, you can find that at liferecoverygroups.com. So visit liferecoverygroups.com. That is going to be online September 24th. And we just love for you to be able to join us on that. We have this month, and actually this day, I want to talk a little bit about it. Jill, you can speak more to it. But June 10th, that is Dr. David Stoop's birthday.
It is his birthday.
And
yes.
So we want to honor him. And one of the ways that we want to honor him this month is going back to what Larry was sharing. If you give a gift of any amount, we are going to send you a copy of Making Peace with Your Father. And so if you're like me and you have some father issues, some daddy issues, I got some, and I got quite a few. This book is for you. If you don't, I guarantee you have somebody in your life that may have some father issues, especially with this month being the month of Father's Day as well. But we're going to send you that gift in honor of Dr. David Stoop, and we just honor him today. And Jill, share us for you. What's one impact way that Dave has helped transform your life?
Oh, my gosh. So many different ways, but I think that it was his quiet strength and presence and just genuine love and care.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? That he just exuded. And I have said before, too, just the feeling when you're around him, you know everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
Like the anxiety just comes way down you're around him.
He carried such a peace and comfort with him everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember early on when I started on New Life Live, and it was a little bit nerve-wracking being new to this whole thing. And I had such high admiration for his works and his books, and that had meant so much to me. And it was a little bit disappointing that he couldn't seem to remember my name.
Oh, Chris!
Right? So, however, he always kept telling me, I like what you say. I like how you say.
I mean,
it's just such an encourager for me. And wind in my sails. Eventually, David got my name right.
Oh, that's good.
Got it down.
Yeah.
And developed such a sweet relationship.
Yeah. He was the best.
Yep.
He was the best.
Well, again, we're going to be in here one more segment. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we are going to go to a final caller today. We're going to go to May in Vancouver, Washington, listening online. May, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Well, glad to be with you. Talk to us today. What's going on?
Thank you. Well, you actually said something right before one of the advertisements that came on that just hit me. Like, oh, it was definitely for me. You said, failure is imminent. Move on or go on anyway. Is that
recover
it?
Anyway. Yeah, recover, move forward anyways, you know? Absolutely.
Yes, okay. Well, I've had a recent situation with my work.
Okay.
Where I did not do things that I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused me a great deal of sorrow and trouble in my own heart. And one of the questions that I had and have been having, because you go through certain things and you see yourself, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize that I was such a deceived person about something.
Well, what happened?
And I just wanted, well, I really can't go into the whole details with it,
yeah.
But I did, didn't take care of some business that I should have taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Had I known about it better, but it was probably and I take full ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
I should have known, but sometimes you don't ask questions and you don't know.
Yeah.
You can't ask a question if you don't know, you know what I mean. So my question to the lady that took my call was, and I think this is where I'm going. I've been a listener since back and reader since the Naya Menorist, Toxic Faith, all this stuff, all the way up through. Major codependent background, had a healing for memories back in 1990, so I've been, you know, this is a journey, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, having never been diagnosed with PTSD, which I am not a professional, but I would wager that I have had it majorly most of my life, and I'm wondering how that affects the decisions that people make over their life, because I have made decisions of things that I don't really like. Being an educator, I don't care about certain portions of it, but there are parts where I would have loved to do different things. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to see how that might affect me and what I need to do. Not everybody that I know does trauma training and things like that for people counseling.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense, and here's why.
Okay.
Pain has a way of creating primary organizing principles.
Oh, dear Lord.
So pain demands our attention, right? And so, but then it gives a particular principle about ourselves. Now, one of the ways it does that is that it makes us the problem because it gives us a false sense of control. And that becomes the root of shame.
Okay.
Right? So here's an example of that. So I'll give an example from my own life. So my father, because of his alcoholism and the way that it had progressed in his own life and the troubles that he was getting into, was not able to be a part of my daily life from the time I was 8.5 years on. But in my little 8.5-year-old brain, I didn't understand that. I couldn't understand that. All I knew was the pain of my father leaving my life. And so I adopted an organizing principle that was that must, because he would choose a 7 and 7, which was his drink of choice, bourbon and 7-Up, Seagram 7 and 7-Up, yep, so to give clarification, then that meant that I wasn't good enough. And so that became an organizing principle in my life in which I would either fight against or try to overcome or run away from. But again, I started organizing my life around that principle.
So you end up making
maybe
choices based on things that have happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So like with generational transmission of trauma, we might not know why we respond to certain things in certain ways, but it's become a societal norm. The system, our family system has decided that this particular thing happened because of this, and so we don't. Whatever the thing is, we don't talk to this. We don't go this place. We don't eat these
things.
We don't talk
about sex. You know, we don't make money in this particular way, or we do make, or people are untrustworthy.
Right.
You know, so
then there's this either rigidity or chaos, right? We're just loud in our. That's just the way we talk in our family. Everybody talks at the same time. So we then come up with these organizing principles for how we live our life that have become societal norms. And so to answer the answer to your question is yes, it does.
Yeah. Well,
having the trauma in your early childhood definitely does affect the way you make choices.
And everything that happens in life impacts our brain and our bodies, right?
Yep.
And we're trying to make sense of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of times we make sense of it erroneously.
Yeah.
Because we're making choices based on our experience, what we believe to be true in the world, what matters to
so
us,
many factors.
Our preferences, so many factors.
Yeah. Well, one thing that would help you to know is that when I was just barely 15, my mother had a massive stroke, and I was alone with a young brother and a two-year-old sister, and I never saw the mother I knew again.
She lived.
But you never saw the mother you knew before that moment.
No, I was the first child. She put everything into me, and historically, her mother had passed away, and so she was raising me to be able to take care of everybody in case something happened to her.
So
organizing principle, right?
This is really helping me.
So her mother died, and so she wanted to make sure that you knew how to do everything so that you wouldn't be helpless. I have a similar story. My mom didn't have to do anything.
Right.
She kind of was pampered. All she had to do was make a bed. So that meant I had to learn how to do everything because her mother died when I was 19 months old, and she didn't know how to do anything. She didn't know how to cook. She didn't know how to iron. She still doesn't iron.
Yeah.
She can cook now.
Mm-hmm.
So that became an organizing principle in our family. Mm-hmm. In our system, I, as the oldest, had to learn to do everything. You, as the oldest, had to learn to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably still doing everything for everyone.
So in my organizing principles, 50 or 60 years later, because I'm going to be 80 sometime soon, my organizing principle has been to take care of everybody else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. That's it.
Sometimes it sounds like the neglect of yourself, which maybe then that ties in to the work situation where things get overlooked or not seen
as
important.
Or you're protecting someone or trying to take care of someone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Because, May, there is still a 15-year-old girl there that is going through a traumatic incident that needs to be paid attention to. She needs to be heard. She needs to be comforted. She needs to be encouraged.
And whenever she needs that, she goes to what she's used to, which is working and taking care of others.
Yeah.
It's not getting her what she wants.
It becomes
food.
Yeah. And food. Yeah. We all have a comfort magnet inside of us, and we're going to go to whatever our magnet worked before. So.
Yeah.
May, we're just about out of time here. Thank you so, so much for calling in. Thank you for sharing with us. We're going to send you a copy of Healing as a Choice and just a great, great resource in that to continue. As you said, it's a journey. It's not a destination.
Lifelong journey.
And
I love that you're still learning.
And that's what we're here for. You know,
still open to life.
Open.
Absolutely.
And has that wow factor, right?
Yeah. So may you continue on your journey of healing and hope and health and vitality. Thank you for letting us be a part of us. And until next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.